25.
Break!
Roy bellowed. I'm breaking! I'm breaking! Martin called back, pulling with all of his weight on the metal bar that now protruded through the bed of the cart, just in front of the rear axle. Martin pulled hard on the bar, bracing his feet on the rear wall of the cart's bed and hanging off the back of the cart in his desperation to slow it down. Sparks showered the sides of the path as the metal rims of the rear wheels ground against the metal pads on Roy's improved brakes. Martin knew that if his hand slipped or the bar broke, he'd fall backward into the cart's wake and watch, helplessly choking on dust, as the cart careened away without any brakes, save for the emergency brake Britt, Roy, and Gwen had cooked up. They'd explained how it worked to him. He suspected falling backward out of the cart was the safer option. At the front of the cart, Roy had both hands full, wrestling the tiller he had connected to the front wheels. Modern people are accustomed to vehicles with power, or at least rack and pinion steering. This cart was never designed to be steered from the driver's seat, and the basic geometry of the axle put Roy at a mechanical disadvantage. Roy stopped shouting for more brakes while he guided the cart around a turn, barely managing to keep all four wheels on the ground. The path ahead was fairly straight, so he ventured a look at his passengers. Gwen and Britt were in the middle of the cart, between the driver's bench and the brakeman's position. They were both holding on to the sides of the cart, crouched as if prepared to jump over the side at the slightest provocation, but moving only when necessary to either shift their weight to the inside of a corner or to dodge any of the loose items rolling around in the back of the cart. It had been decided that they should bring along some tools and lumber to repair the cart should it break before they ran out of hill. They had stacked their supplies carefully in the center of the bed, an arrangement that had lasted until the first sharp turn. Both Gwen and Britt were wide-eyed, their mouths agape. Somehow, even with the wind and the rattling and the grinding drowning them out, Roy could tell that Gwen was screaming, but Britt was laughing.
How are you two doing?
He asked. Gwen shrieked, I'm terrified!
Fear means you're making progress!
Roy yelled. Roy turned back to the path ahead, just in time to almost not make the next turn.
Relax, Britt said, between laughing jags. We aren't really going that fast. I think we're doing something like 20 miles an hour. It just feels much faster because the vehicle is fundamentally unsound.
Why didn't you say so to begin with?
Gwen asked.
Say what? Britt asked. That the vehicle was unsound? I did. All three of us did. We discussed at length that we'd have to try to keep things slow and be ready to bail out because this cart was never designed to be used this way. You just weren't there. You were outside, working on the emergency brake.
When Britt had proposed her idea for the last-ditch emergency brake, Roy had actually laughed out loud. Not because it was ridiculous, but because there was no reason it couldn't work, despite being ridiculous. He and Britt brainstormed the elements necessary to make it work and determined that the handiwork of someone who knew how to work with fabric was called for. Gwen took the sewing kit Britt the Elder had sent, Roy's trench coat for material, and some general instructions for what she would make. Then she found a quiet, pleasant spot under a tree to do her work. As such, she had not been privy to any of the later design conversations. At one point, Britt had decided to take a break from the hammering and the bending and Martin's incessant humming of the theme from the A-Team to check on Gwen's progress.
How's it going?
Britt asked, sitting on the shady ground next to Gwen.
Well, I think,
Gwen answered. Britt nodded.
Will it work? The emergency brake?
Gwen asked.
Yeah, I think it might. If we're going straight. If we're turning, no way.
Yeah, Britt said.
That is one design flaw, but it's better than nothing.
Gwen said,
The good news is that this old trench coat is made out of good, strong material. It was a shame to cut it up.
At least he has the coat Britt the Elder sent for him, so he'll stay warm and dry. We'll get Roy a new trench coat when this is all over. You can make him one if you want, or we could just zip back to the 21st century and buy him one.
Gwen shook her head.
No, we'll want to go to the 20th century. Better craftsmanship then.
Ah, yes. Britt said. Those skilled lady seamstresses with their nimble little woman hands?
Gwen chuckled lightly.
He's getting better.
He's still kind of weird around us, but he's treating us like useful members of the team now.
Britt smiled.
I knew he'd come around eventually. The smart ones usually do. I suppose. I just wish he would relax,
Gwen said, squinting at her stitching.
Well,
Britt sighed.
The awkwardness is partly our fault.
Gwen looked up from her sewing and squinted at Britt.
Not women in general, Britt clarified. Us, specifically, and in this one situation.
Britt could tell by the continued intensity of Gwen's squint that more clarification was needed.
I'm just saying that I think, in the long run, Atlantis might have been a mistake. It made sense at the time. Early history was generally hostile toward women, more so the further back you went. Adding magical powers to the mix certainly didn't simplify things. When we started traveling through time, it seemed smart to create a separate place where women could go to be in charge of their own destinies and be treated with the respect they deserved. Made sense to me,
Gwen said.
That's why I moved there.
Britt said,
Yeah, but I think you had it right the first time when you were living among the male time travelers, interacting with them, proving your worth. I made Atlantis. It was my idea, and it was constructed by Britt the Elder, who is me, probably. Anyway, by keeping women separate from men, I've doomed women to being non-players in the men's stories. The male wizards can't see women as their equals, because they never really interact with women who are their equals, aside from the very rare woman of equal or greater status who gets involved. Like you and me,
Gwen said.
Exactly. It's no wonder they treat strong, independent women as oddities. We are oddities in their world, and I'm the one who made it that way. It wasn't my intention, but that's what happened.
Gwen thought about this for a moment, then said,
Okay, say you're right. What do we do about it?
Britt said,
Well, we can't fix the past. We're time travelers,
Gwen reminded her.
Yes, and as you've seen, all that really means is that we can mess up the past, not fix it. True, we can't fix the past, but we can improve things going forward. I'm going to make sure that the sorceresses of Atlantis mix and integrate with the other wizard communities in the future. And I'm going to try to remember this lesson and not make the same mistake again. Should you find yourself in a position to create another society from your imagination again?
Gwen said.
Yeah,
Britt said.
If it comes up.
In the distance, Martin emerged from the blacksmith shop and called out,
Hey, guys, if you got a sec, Roy and I would like your opinion about something.
Britt and Gwen listened to Roy and Martin's disagreement and offered their opinions. Discussion ensued, and consensus was reached. This process was repeated many times. They all worked hard, the men doing more than half of the grunt labor, and the women doing more than half of the irritating, fiddly work. When it was done, they rested. The next morning, they set out in the cart, which they'd heavily modified into what was possibly the world's first four-person, all-terrain, soapbox derby car. It was almost certainly a mistake, but it was a mistake they'd made together. The cart rattled down the winding path. They were moving fast, fast enough to feel that they'd be seriously injured if the cart fell apart, but slow enough that they all doubted whether they'd catch up to the others before that happened. Roy yelled to his passengers,
Lean right!
And threw the tiller all the way to the left, slamming the cart into a hard right turn. Gwen, who was sitting on the right side of the cart to begin with, pushed her weight into the side of the cart's bed as hard as she dared, fearing that the ancient wood might fail to support her weight. Britt scurried from her position in the left side of the bed to Gwen's side, using her body weight as ballast to help keep the inside wheels of the cart on the ground as they maneuvered through the turn. Martin was putting most of his weight into the brake lever. His feet lost traction as they careened around the corner, causing him to fall out the back of the cart. He still had a firm grip on the brake handle, and now that his full weight was bearing down on the lever, the cart's speed slowed noticeably. They were really designed to be parking brakes, not to slow a vehicle already in motion. Roy and Britt had beefed them up as well as they could, but they all knew the brakes wouldn't last forever. Roy yelled,
Good work!
While Martin struggled to get his feet back into the cart. Looking down at his sneakers as they scrambled against the back of the cart, A sudden streak of gray in his peripheral vision caught Martin's attention. Once he got both feet back on the cart, he ventured a quick look at the path behind and saw that there were four wolves chasing them. He quickly theorized that they must have spawned at the same speed they would if the group walked by, but since they were rolling past at many times their walking speed, the wolves didn't really spring into action until the cart was well past. That meant that the longer they rolled down this hill, the more wolves would gather behind them, and the more important it would be to keep rolling. Martin saw that the wolves were gaining on them. He eased off the brakes. They were out of the turn and back on a relatively straight bit of path. Britt crawled back to her side of the cart.
At this rate, she yelled to anyone who was listening, we should catch up to the others in no time.
Hell, Roy said. I half expect to crash into them.